You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening, Jackson?
What's good, baby?
I can't believe Jay already doubted whether I ever had a lineup already this morning. We're only 2 hours into the show.
I can't imagine you
probably had one of them little fake fades.
I had an official. First of all, I had just a straight Caesar with no fade. Second of all,
I forget that you were a rapper.
I had the Caesar fade. That was when you go a little pretty boy.
You don't dress like a rapper anymore.
No, that's right. I was 19. Like a, I'm 48 now, Jay.
He dressed like an owner of a 2-versus-2 team.
Yeah, that's right.
You're the owner of a big 2 team. That's who you are.
That's exactly right.
Guys, I have your trophy right here in front of me that you carried around.
One of the many brilliant points I've made that has sparked a national debate about Steph Curry is whether or not he needs a finals MVP. Not to enhance his legacy. Draymond Green tried to be slick with that. He's like, Steph doesn't need an MVP to prove who he is. I never said that. What I said was, I was responding to Jay talking about he's going to end up a top 10 player all time. Now, to do that, I think you need to be the best player in the world for a while or something like that, even if you want to say top 2 or 3. And you need, at the end of the season, to be the best player on the best team, you know, who helped win your team a championship. And Cedric Maxwell was on earlier, Celtics radio analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He doesn't think Steph needs to win a finals MVP. Listen to Cedric Maxwell, former finals MVP.
I really don't think so. And the reason I say that is because you look at all his accolades right now. He is going down as the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. He's the only MVP that has had a unanimous vote. So I don't think that he needs to put that on his mantle. He probably would like to have it on his mantle, but I don't think he needs to put that on his mantle to solidify who he is as a player.
Key, a lot of people bring up that unanimous MVP vote, but to me, it's great. You know, I'm not saying Steph's not a super great player and everything, but if by regular season, everyone makes the playoffs in the NBA. By the end of those playoffs, if you would have re-voted, he wouldn't have gotten that. He probably wouldn't have gotten it at all, let alone unanimously. To me, that's not the strongest argument. You can make other arguments, but I don't like that unanimous MVP argument. Tell me that, look, he created the culture. He's a huge engine on the team. He's the reason why they won 3 championships, why KD wanted to play there. I buy those arguments more.
But you can't, though, Max. When you're unanimous MVP, that means everybody who has a vote decided that you were the best player that year, whether you tailed off the last 2 weeks of the season or not. You were the best player that season in the NBA. It's never happened.
Regular season, Michael Jordan,
it doesn't matter. Michael Jordan never did it. Kobe Bryant never did it. Magic Johnson never did it. Big O never. I mean, I go on and on and on. You can't refute that and go against that and try to diminish that by saying, oh, it's a regular season. You got to do something in the regular season to get to the postseason to be able to accomplish the goal, because if you the Lakers, you didn't do nothing in the regular season, so therefore you didn't get to the postseason this year. Steph Curry has done it in both regular and post. That's why Cornbread Maxwell, Cedric Maxwell, said what he said. Because that's what he believes.
I just love when I hear former players that have reached such a level, right? NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, when they recognize what time it is for what they're seeing, because they've never seen something like it before. So, you know, when I say it doesn't carry as much cachet, because I've never been to an NBA Finals, even though I feel like I've watched a ton of basketball.
I think it carries plenty of cachet.
It hits differently when an NBA Finals MVP says it. Mm-hmm. It hits differently. So it just once again confirms the original thought that I've had, that a guy who's broken so many records, a guy who's revolutionized the game, And also, how damn hard it is, Key, being under – I recognize this, man. I'm 6'2", okay? Every day in my life, I'm around people like Key who are 6'4", 6'5". Key's small in the NBA. He's small. So when you're around Kevin Durant, when you're around Giannis, when you're around LeBron
– trees.
And then people say, well, you know, Steph just – you know, he's not the – he wasn't the best player on the court. I'm like, yo, do you know how damn – I almost use another word – how good LeBron James is. I know we sit up here and we break things down and we talk about the moments that he didn't rise to the occasions, or people will build arguments about, well, he's gotten to the finals so many times, but he didn't win it. Like, it kind of diminishes how difficult it is, Max, to get there in the first place.
I think guys like you who have the experience especially are you credit Steph for doing something incredibly difficult. If the question was pound for pound or inch for inch, who is the greatest players ever? That's separate. If the question is who changed the game or whose job was the hardest, that's a separate issue. But it's not pound for pound or inch for inch or whose thing is the hardest. It's who are the 10 greatest,
but,
right?
So, but let me ask you this. So, I mean, 10 greatest means impacting the game in a different way, right? So Shaq impacted. I can make a case that Steph has impacted the game the same way Shaq has impacted the game. You know what Steph has done? Most of the time when you run back to the three-point line, I'm waiting for you at the three-point line. With Steph, you have to wait for him at half court. It changes up the endurance and the conditioning of the game. Because now, like Iman Shumpert talked about on multiple podcasts, there's no more, let me wait for you to get into this operating area. You can't. His operating area is a foot over half
court.
But
in the end, I look at the effectiveness of what the player's doing. Steph, by any measure, top 15 all time, right? But once you start talking about top 10 – I look when I look at, you know, Michael Jordan, and you mentioned Shaq or Kobe, Bird, Magic, even if there was at least a strong argument for all of them at one point or another, that's the best player in basketball. And I'm not talking about the end of the regular season. I'm talking about the end of the real season, because at that point, half the teams in the league made a little more than half made the playoffs. Now it's 2/3 make the playoffs. So at the end of everything, you go, that's the dude I want. Steph hasn't been that guy yet where at the end of it all, maybe this year he will be. That's the dude. That's the dude I want.
Not only that, Cedric Maxwell went on to say that he didn't need to do anything else to solidify himself to be put into the top 10 players. If you were drafting today and you had a top 10 pick, Steph Curry would be a top 10 pick.
All time?
I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah, I get it.
A guy who actually, like Jay said,
won it.
Played in the NBA, won the MVP in the finals in 1981. You're getting this from essentially the peers. And it's not to diminish your thought process, because everybody have an opinion, Max. There's no question about it. But you're getting it, you're getting it from somebody who has done it.
100%.
It's very hard to go against somebody who's done it.
But, Key, like, so he won on a team with Larry Bird. He won finals MVP. But if Bird never won a finals MVP, right, would I think of him a little differently? Yeah, I probably would. I would think, wait a minute. If Larry Bird was something less than his normal self or his best self each time, I'd be like, I don't know.
How many NBA finals did Larry Bird play in?
He played in, I want to say, 5 and won 3.
Okay,
won in 81, 84, and 86.
So here's what I would say to you, Coach, and Jay, assistant coach. Is that when you play?
Why gotta be the assistant, man?
Well, because I'm better at basketball, obviously. Yes.
When you play in 5 championships, let's say 6, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
You're probably going to win an MVP Finals trophy if you're Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. If you're Steph Curry and you play in 6 and you win 4, mm-hmm. or you play in 7 and you win 5, or whatever that is,
or 6 and win 3.
Or whatever, you're probably going to win an MVP. You're probably going to win one. Some of your other teammates are going to probably win one.
Yes, I'm waiting for his turn. Yes.
But his first one in 2015, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, he was a puppy, right? He didn't have any hair on his face.
Honestly,
and he should have won.
You know,
Sam
Amick,
and
who voted that year.
In 2016.
I just want to mention this, Key, because it came up. It was in The Athletic. Sam Amick mm-hmm. voted that year on the award and mm-hmm. interviewed Iguodala about it, because he says the narrative is now Steph should have gotten the MVP. Mm-hmm. He said there were 11 voters. 4 voted for LeBron, 7 voted for Iguodala, no one voted for Steph, and he says, I think we got it right. In other words, I would have said LeBron's the MVP. I don't care if his team lost because he was obviously the MVP of the series. But like, not a single voter gave it to Steph that year. That means that's not accidental.
Okay, go with your point, kid. He was a pup.
But I was going to say, in 2016, he got hurt, they got hurt, whatever, they lose. Mm-hmm. Then they win with KD twice because KD's on the team. Now then they lose and get everybody broken up in Toronto and that whole thing falls apart there. Now they're back in it. He's going to probably win the MVP. And my whole point is,
yes,
if you are in that many damn championships, at some point, you're going to probably win an MVP.
Agreed.
I just find it funny. You can break so many records. You can be NBA champion. And then the one thing that holds you back from being top 10 of all time is somebody saying you don't have a finals MVP. I just find that.
Well, Jay.
Because it's about the complete body of work. It's not one missing
But one
piece.
Of the parts of the body, I agree. One of the parts of the body of work that's a very important one to me, maybe not to you, is what Steph did game two. First half, they're losing. They're down 0-1. They're at home. They can't afford to lose this game, most people think, right? Second half, what do you do, Steph? He got so hot. He played so great that the game was over by the fourth quarter. That's what I'm talking about. Like, he hasn't done that in the finals, to my estimation, enough yet to put him in the top 10. As Key says, he keeps playing. He probably will. Maybe he will. Like, let's see. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Yeah. It's just, you know, Cedric got finals MVP and he averaged 17.5 points and 8 rebounds. So, Key, like, in that was warrant of a championship finals MVP. So, sometimes you look at what Steph is averaging, you're like, all right, did it equate to him being that guy? And people will use, like, the lack of him not getting that award as diminishing. And I'm saying it doesn't always work that way.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com.
The NFL doesn't want to hear about any other incidents post facto.
A new lawsuit filed Monday against Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson alleges Watson has engaged in, quote, a disturbing pattern of conduct, unquote.
Emmett Golden, co-host of The Next Level with Emmett and Gerard on ESPN 850 Cleveland, is with us now. Morning, Emmett.
Good morning, guys.
What do we owe this? Goldie, you've been disappearing. You haven't been around. What's going on?
I don't know. I guess it's been a quiet time in Cleveland, but something tells me business is picking up, especially when it comes to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that would be true.
So speaking of Deshaun Watson, he is now facing a 24th civil suit. What's the reaction been to that news?
Here in Cleveland, fans are just kind of tired. They're fatigued of it. The shock and awe, I think, has dissipated a little bit. You know, if you hear something over and over and over again, you know, you just kind of get desensitized to it. So I think the fan base is just kind of, okay, it's another case, it's another case. They're just waiting until we can talk about football, because this is probably the best roster the Browns have ever had. And Deshaun Watson, I think you can't even argue it, is the best quarterback from a talent standpoint that the Browns have ever had. But no one can really talk about it because we all have no idea how many games he's going to play this year.
You know, he's going to miss some time, right, Emmett? We don't know what that time is going to be. We can all speculate based on the history of the NFL and what they deal with similar situations and guys, you know, getting time reduced and all of those sort of things. So let's assume he's going to miss some time. What, outside of Jacoby Brissett, are the Cleveland Browns' backup plans behind him?
Oh, it's strictly Jacoby Brissett. You know, I know there are a lot of talk of, well, maybe, possibly Baker Mayfield could slide in. Guys, that will never happen. Baker Mayfield will not take another snap for the Browns, and that's, I don't believe it's necessarily due to the Browns. I think they've shown that, you know, if a guy requests a trade like David Njoku, that if they value you, they'll keep you around and be willing to even give you a lot of money. But you know, Baker is typically the guy that doesn't let go of things, and he's already written his goodbye letter to the fans of Cleveland, and he's pretty much been on record saying that this situation can't be fixed. So it's Jacoby Brissett. Josh Dobbs, I believe, is the third quarterback right now. So those are their plans, that quarterback. Baker Mayfield is not a part of them going forward.
Emmett Golden, co-host of The Next Level with Emmett and Gerard on ESPN 850 Cleveland. Look, you said it's not going to happen. I've been saying it when it first started. The moment that Deshaun Watson was acquired in a trade, it's over. He'll never touch the field or the locker room in a practice environment for the Cleveland Browns, because guess what? The players don't want him in the locker room anymore. They don't want him because, much like you said, he's written a letter. It just, it does, it's like you the girl that we dated, you were cool, but we got a fine one over here that we like, and we understand you got a lot of money. We understand your family's rich, but I'm going to stay over here with her. And that's kind of where Baker Mayfield is. They're not going to accept him in the locker room, period. It's not going to happen. So people need to let that part go, that, oh, they could go back to Baker Mayfield. No, they can't. They can't touch Baker Mayfield. He is toxic inside that locker room right now.
Yeah, and Key, I just think all you have to do is listen to the players, because they're saying things, you know, if you watch social media, they're flirting with OBJ, right? Come back, man. You know, maybe you should come back. You know, everybody's showering Deshaun Watson with praise after OTA practices. The locker room moved on last year, mm-hmm. and I think you kind of saw that in the way that the Browns performed as the year went on. And it's, and Key, you know this, usually guys appreciate it when you play through an injury, but when you're not playing well with an injury and you refuse to sit down, then you're hurting the team. And I think that frustrated a lot of the Browns players last year, and Baker lost the locker room about halfway through that season. And I agree 100%. That ship has sailed. Baker Mayfield will not wear an orange helmet again.
Emmett, another account yesterday, the 24th now, for Deshaun Watson came out and occurred. I'm just curious, from your perspective, like, how have things been for Deshaun around the team, the media, and the fan base around everything that keeps popping up?
Well, I mean, Deshaun has, you know, been at everything, been at all the OTAs. The Browns had a golf outing yesterday, and he was there. Still hasn't spoken to the media, which is a smart move by the Browns, and they've kind of stood firm on it's a fluid situation. We're waiting to see how things go. So they've kind of handled it in a uniform manner, which they're not just saying a lot. And again, I think fans at first were upset, like, why would the Browns do this? And then I think, you know how it is. People start to reason away stuff because he's such a good quarterback. And now everyone's just like, when can we get to football? You know, because I've seen Deshaun Watson jerseys, you know, around Cleveland. And I thought it'd be a long time before I saw one of those. But I think fans kind of got past the initial shock. And now it's just kind of a holding pattern, because you don't know if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender or around 500 team next year.
Now that we've established that Deshaun Watson is at some point going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, and Baker Mayfield is on the bus, but where does that bus take Baker Mayfield now, Emmett? What's the next journey in his NFL career?
I mean, right now he's a man with no country, you know, and I've heard a lot of discussion of, well, you want to wait until mini camp happens and you get closer to training camp. Maybe someone gets hurt, but hoping or planning that another quarterback will get hurt is not a great strategy. You know, I think ultimately at some point the Browns are going to have to eat a ton of that salary. And then he's probably going to be a backup, or at least in a competition with another team. And that's going to be kind of a different situation, at least in the NFL, for Baker Mayfield. So, look, Baker plays well when his back is against the wall. So when he gets another opportunity, I expect him to play well. Baker Mayfield's not a bad quarterback. He's an average quarterback. And I think you'll see Baker play well wherever he lands. And then he'll probably get back to the up-and-down quarterback play, in which he's kind of proven that that's the type of quarterback he is.
Emmett Golden, co-host of The Next Level on ESPN 850 Cleveland. Appreciate you joining us today, Emmett.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Emmett.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Key, you've been saying that all along. It seems pretty apparent. Baker Mayfield is not getting back into that locker room under any circumstances. And
I wonder if his name tag is still up.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Chances are they took that down.
That ship has sailed.
No, they usually, I mean, but you know, because he's under contract, they take it down.
Yeah, but does the contract have anything to do with that, right? You could do whatever you want inside the locker room, right?
Well, yeah, they can still pay you and not leave your name tag up.
Yeah, they typically would leave it up, though, till you're officially gone from the team. Huh. I just wonder if, in fact, it is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, Baker could just show up for minicamp if he wanted to. Like, it's mandatory minicamps. If Baker wanted to just show up, he could. He's under contract. He's a player on the team.
Now,
he's on the roster.
So they could excuse him and tell him to stay away.
Yeah. Right, but if he does show up, he's got to have a locker.
No, that's true. That's true. You're right, Evan.
There's a reality show, by the way. You send a camera crew with Baker, have him show up.
Oh God! That would. What if his key card did? I wonder if they. That's the type of stuff. If his key card or his code doesn't work anymore, that's the type of stuff I want to know. Like if he goes there at like 5 a.m. to get a workout in, and he walks to the door like they do coaches when they fire him, and he can't get in.
You ever see the movie Office Space?
Course.
No, I did not.
Yeah, but I've never seen Office Space.
Yeah,
Key?
Office Space. I don't think it's hilarious. But I was told that I was. They send Baker down in the basement. He's working, but I was told that I would stole my swing line stapler, and I don't have a huge contract for a player that is the most important non-quarterback in the NFL. Who else is even in that class?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
Key's Real Rankings.
You heard the man. It's time for Key's Real Rankings. They're brought to you by Dell for your small business needs. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Key, these rankings are your top six most valuable non-quarterbacks, huh?
Number six.
Jeez, they jumped.
Number six.
Jumped quick. Oh. I think when you look at it, you know, the quarterbacks are always looked at as the most valuable to a team. But I look at it this way with these six guys on the list. These teams, without them in the lineup, certainly wouldn't fare well. Number six would be Derrick Henry. Although the Tennessee Titans did make a strong push with Derrick Henry out of the lineup in their strong running game. But I think that changes with Ryan Tannehill at the quarterback spot, no longer having any of the receiving threats of A.J. Brown there. So Derrick Henry sits at number six in Tennessee.
Number five.
Number five is Jonathan Taylor, running back of the Indianapolis Colts. We saw him burst onto the scene last year, become a dominant runner for Carson Wentz. Now Matt Ryan is underneath the center. He eases a whole lot of the pressure off of Matt Ryan. Michael Pittman Jr. in the passing game, blocks well in the running game. With him in their lineup, they have an opportunity and a chance to really make some noise in the division as well as in the AFC conference.
Number four.
Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns, defensive end. When you talk about setting the edge, becoming an aggressive pass rusher, making that defense way better. Without Myles Garrett in the lineup, Jadeveon Clowney is a different player. This defense needs to take a next step. And Myles Garrett did what I thought he would do. At the beginning of the season, I questioned whether or not he could take the next step. He certainly proved me wrong. He sits at number four.
Number three,
in order for this offense that Jameis Winston and Chris Olave, along with the new inserted guy in Jarvis Landry at the receiver position, Michael Thomas, has been in witness protection over the last year and a half. We haven't seen my nephew nearly as much as we would have liked after the big payday that he got. I can guarantee you, if Jameis Winston is going to have a good season and the New Orleans Saints are going to have a good year, it's going to be because Michael Thomas is back at full strength and healthy. And, yes, he sits at number three, Pat, because it is nepotism. You wouldn't say anything if it was anybody else.
Number two.
Tyreek Hill coming over from Kansas City in a monster trade to the Miami Dolphins to help Tua Tagovailoa to get going in a situation where he's being judged at the quarterback spot for his career right now. The jury is still out on him. We'll see if he can do some things with Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, along with Waddle. If that's the case, Tyreek Hill will lift that coverage and bring a lot to the table for him.
Number one.
Number one is the big payday guy, Aaron Donald, Los Angeles Rams, defensive tackle, nose guard, stand-up, rush, outside linebacker, many positions in the front seven for the Los Angeles Rams. Record-breaking contract, $30-plus million a year. Max, I know you want to hear that number. You like that number? He is actually the most valuable player in the National Football League, whether he's a non-quarterback or not.
Yeah, sometimes I just like to hear high money sums, and the endorphins just start coursing through my veins. So nepotism, you cop to at number three, Michael Thomas, right?
Absolutely.
T.J. Watt be on this list? T.J. Watt obviously was the highest paid defensive player in the game before Aaron Donald signed his deal, but obviously he's pivotal to what Pittsburgh does and Mike Tomlin, right?
Yeah, he could be on the list, Jay, but I don't think that the fortunes will change because T.J. Watt's not in the lineup.
Okay, so I got one for you, Key, and I know you have Michael Thomas on the list. But how about D-Hop? I mean, we saw how much Kyler Murray really struggled when D-Hop went down. You can make a case that he is as important as Kyler Murray for that team.
You're probably right there. You probably – I could have had him on the list.
I mean, I got one
always,
more for you,
I'm going to always miss. I ain't going to always hit 100. I hit 100 a lot of the times, but I'd usually be like around 95 on an average.
95 gets you paid a lot of money, though.
So how about this, the following name? And I know you like to have it proven over a long period of time and everything, but when I look at the Cowboys' defense, Parsons was so good as a rookie, and that defense looks like maybe a little like they're going to need it from Parsons, in other words. What about him?
Yeah, he could, but here's the problem that I have, Max. I haven't seen them without him. Like, uh-huh. I've seen the Rams without Aaron Donald.
Yeah, what
when
that
he was
like.
Hurt, when he was hurt in the playoffs against Green Bay, what that team looked like. Tyreek Hill, I've seen Kansas City without him, and I've seen Miami without him. I've seen New Orleans without Michael Thomas. I've seen the Cleveland Browns without Myles Garrett for, I guess it was a whole year or something like that. I've seen the Colts without Jonathan Taylor, the Tennessee Titans without Derrick Henry. So when you're looking at that, you're seeing it. It's like, okay, well, if he was on the field, this would be a different team. I could certainly see, though, Michael Parsons, if he was missing and he wasn't a part of that defense, it probably would be a little bit different. So I could see that point.
Yeah, but you're right. It's easier to see what it looks like when you can see what it looks like.
You see, I didn't even argue with Jay about nothing. Not even argue. I don't use argue. I didn't communicate at a higher level with Jay on DeAndre Hopkins because I've seen the Cardinals without him. So it's a easy point that Jay brings up. No DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. This looks like a different team.
Yeah, that
I just missed on that one. So I'm at 98%. So what?
98%. Damn, Jay, what do you want from the man? 98%.
We're going to be 100%. Keyshawn Johnson.
Have you ever got 100% on any paper?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
What was it, like three questions or something? Or three?
Like, multiple choice?
Yeah. Like
you got every question on a test correct? Yes.
No, I have not. And I'm not going to sit up here and lie.
You why, never got.
Why are you sitting here and I'm say, lying?
I didn't say you lied. Yeah, I said
your tone,
I'm not.
Your tone did it. Your tone did so. And I saw your face on the screen.
All I said is I'm not going to sit up here and lie.
Lie. Well, you said I'm not going to sit up here and lie.
You know, Yeah, my son, a couple weeks ago after school, he got 100 on stuff.
Oh, you know, what kind of test?
It was like math, money. You know, they go tape it on the door so math I can see money. It. Yes, yes, I know you got.
He's gonna tape it on the door so I can see it.
It's so interesting that though, when I asked that question, my kids are all strong in math. I have no idea why that is, because I'm like. I mean,
well, maybe you're
know.
Strong in math too.
Yeah, I know. I give you, look. This is how I know. I give you $100, and you give me $99 back. I know you owe me $1. That's my strength.
That's right. You know what's funny about math?
I know what I gave you.
People don't like it because it's like there's actually an answer. It's not like, you know, in English or social studies, you kind of make something up, right? But actually, in another way, it's easier that way because you just do the formula, you get the answer, move on, you know?
Everybody always said, they say that all the time. Math, Jay. I'm like, yes, I know. I gave you one amount. You're supposed to give me that back. And when you don't, something's wrong.
I could do math quick when I start counting. I'm like, oh, so this how much taxes take out? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Math. Bing, bing,
everyone
bing,
can
bing.
Do the addition and subtraction.
Oh, real quick.
Kid who's struggling in math, just make it dollars, right?
Making paychecks is different now.
Oh, I love this guy.
What needs to change for Klay Thompson in Game 3? And can the Warriors win the series without him playing at an elite level, Jay? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
So, guys, you see this thing that's tweeted out. There's a picture of Jordan, Bird, and Magic. And it was like, would anyone beat these three in a three-on-three in their prime?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, because guys get more skilled every generation.
Yeah, LeBron, yeah. KD, and Kobe. There you go.
But
wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Slow down, little captain. LeBron.
KD and Kobe.
KD.
And Kobe.
Kobe kind of more or less cancels Jordan.
1,000%.
LeBron and KD too tall.
Larry Bird ain't doing nothing
long
with LeBron
and
KD.
For,
LeBron
I
can
ain't,
almost
I'm
cancel
not
out
about,
Jordan.
I'm
now.
Not about to sit there and say Larry Bird ain't doing nothing.
Larry's going to get his.
He's going to
get
it.
They're not going to stop him.
I'm not going to do that.
Jay, if you think they would stop Larry Bird, you're out of your mind. He wouldn't stop them either, but he's getting his.
And Jay, I know you're an NBA, obviously. You've been watching it, playing it, breathing it, living it, boss, slept in your bed with you, old deal. But Larry Bird at the top of that thing, no, Jay, at the beginning, like when he first entered the league, what? Man, that dude was just so
y'all
just
don't gotta
so
make my
lethal.
Comments like I'm pooping on Larry Bird all of a sudden.
No, I'm not. I'm not making your comments like that. Poor I'm just trying to make their case stronger.
Well, their case is strong. I just think that the case for LeBron, Kobe, and KD is stronger.
Look, here's the thing. Every generation, they're going to build on the previous generation and get better. The question is if you plucked them out of their era and just threw them in a court together. But if those three dudes were around today,
or you
sent these three back then, you know what I'm saying?
Who would get a stop first? You think LeBron, Kobe,
No, the defense
KD?
Is going to be the difference there. Yeah,
so
because Magic and Bird. Bird had a lot. Magic Bird was a pretty good defensive player, but not like LeBron became.
So if they got a stop and they got the ball back.
But was Magic defense that way because he didn't have to?
Right. The era was different, man. It was just a different era.
So now I don't know, now, man. Now we're taking them and putting them in this era.
How about this? Instead, what would your all-time three starting three be if you had to do a three-on-three? I'd have Jordan and LeBron, and the question is, who would the third dude be for me, right?
I'm cool with the three I just chose.
I want some shooting, though. Maybe KD.
I'm cool with the three I just chose.
No, but Kobe's not. But Jordan, like between Jordan and Kobe, you might as well take Jordan. It's the same thing, only Jordan
I'm cool
a little
with
extra.
Kobe. Yeah.
Kobe, Jordan, the same thing.
They're the same thing, but where there's an edge, it goes
Max,
to Jordan.
Max looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, you're going to take Michael? You're not going to
take Jordan's a little better defensively, a little better offensively, but basically the same thing.
I'll take Kobe.
I don't know that he's a little bit better. I know that the hype was better. Oh, that's what I do know.
Key. Listen. Defensive player of the year, always top.
Oh, big smoke. I say MJ, you get stop, right in
the
face. Man.
All the analytics agree with it, too.
I say you MJ, guys you are get unbelievable.
Jittery. Yeah, he was the
Come
greatest
on, man.
Of all time. But LeBron's pretty good.
Sometimes it's a fine line between good defense or turnover offense. Stolen by Curry. Curry 1-on-4, 2-on-4. Pulls from the top for three and hits it.
Guy's amazing. He just keeps working on his game, his strength, his conditioning year after year, and it's a pleasure to watch him play.
Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay?
Max?
I want you to listen very closely to a point you may never have considered. It was made.
Why do you keep framing conversations?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Making the audience believe things that aren't true.
Key, it may.
This dude learned today for the first time that the Stanley Cup Final is called the Stanley Cup
Final. It's Final, Jay. Not Finals. Did you just say Finals?
You see, in the NBA Finals.
He doesn't know.
And then he tells the people, Jay, just in case you didn't know, I'm like, you just found that out today, bro. Not me.
That is absurd.
No, Max told me this yesterday. He said, just remind me tomorrow.
Right. I said, no, I told you to remind Jay. Now listen. Jeff Van Gundy, Jay, ESPN NBA analyst. He was the coach of the New York Knicks of my youth.
If you guys can see what's going on right now.
On CJ, the Low podcast.
No, hold on, Max. CJ McCollum is being escorted here with this IFB cable like he was a puppy being walked into the studio. I don't know what just
looking
sorry.
Clean, though, CJ.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right, now wait a minute. On whether or not, Jay, just I don't know if you've considered this, so I want you to consider this.
See,
this is Jeff Van Gundy's point. On if the Warriors can win the series with Klay Thompson.
I can't envision in my mind how they could win this series, let alone another game, if he can't find a level of, doesn't have to be great, but super impactful, and them being 1-1 after the two games that he's played is a testament to, you know, their defense, Curry's greatness. They have a good competitive instinct, but they got to get more from Thompson.
So, CJ, when I watched the game, and look, I think Klay missed a couple of bunnies, right, some easy ones. But it is interesting seeing, like, what Klay used to be and then seeing Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, almost like a mirror of who he used to be defensively, how quickly he moved laterally. And when you see the way Boston has contested catch-and-shoot shots, he's 1-8 in game two. It just feels like they need to find him different ways to get himself going offensively, because I don't believe that they can go far. They can win the NBA Finals if you don't have Klay that steps up in those big moments of games, other than Steph.
I think you're right, but I also think the emergence of Jordan Poole has shifted my thought process on this whole situation. Before, obviously, the Splash Brothers kind of went with Steph and Klay, right? Then you add KD, so it doesn't matter how everybody else does, because he's 30 to 50 a night. You look at Jordan Poole and his ability to kind of explode, scoring off the dribble. Outside of Steph, he's the only other guy that can generate quality shots off the bounce, isolation, pick and roll, while being able to create for others. So I think that's a special skill set that if Klay continues to be a shell of himself, Poole just has to play better. By better, I mean he needs 20 to 25. If he does that, then I think they still can win a championship. But in terms of Klay Thompson, you talked about him. Lateral isn't there right now, isn't where it was before. Obviously, he doesn't have lift around the basket. He's missing bunnies. Jump shot's a little flat. The trajectory on his arc is different. I've gone through foot injuries, so I kind of know what it's like in terms of trying to progress back. And I think once he gets his pop, it's just a matter of time. And I think you're seeing it in spurts. Like, he'll score 30, then he goes back down to 10. It's only a matter of time before he has one of those games, and that's kind of all he needs to get out of this series. They already got one. If he helps them win one game, then I think Steph and Poole are good enough to win two more.
CJ McCollum with us, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio.
C,
CJ, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I wanna say one thing real quick before I start asking you some questions about the NBA. When you were traded from Portland to New Orleans, I found a different appreciation for you. I don't know you and really didn't follow your career nearly as well as Jay or Max, but when you went to the Pelicans, it completely changed my whole thought process. When I saw you speak about the team, about the trade, about Zion and stuff like that, if more veteran players could do things like that, a lot of the young guys will take notice and change their whole thought process, in my opinion, about the way they approach the game. So I just wanted to say that before I ask you about the major impact that you had on the team when you got down to New Orleans. What do you think that could – how you think that was contributed? What did you do to contribute to that?
First of all, thank you for that. I appreciate that comment, man. I'm a big fan of your game. I played – you know, I'm from Ohio, so I played football, you know, most of my life until it got too cold outside and I had to go back indoors and play basketball.
Well, now you sound like a basketball player now.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
I'm from Ohio. It's cold out there, man. I needed the hand warmer and all of that stuff. But I think in terms of the impact in New Orleans – I think that place allowed me to be the best version of myself. And I enjoyed my time in Portland. Like, Dame is my guy. I learned a lot from that organization. They paid me a lot of money. I was able to take care of my family. I had my first child there. I got married there. I learned how to become a man there. And I'm thankful and appreciative of that forever. But I think in New Orleans, it was the next phase of my life. It was the next step in my progression as a man to have to lead, to have to use some of the tools and resources I was able to attain in Portland and kind of carry that over. You talked about young guys, you know, needing mentorship, young guys needing a veteran. I think that's important, but they also need to see how it's done. It's one thing for people to preach to you about work ethic, doing things the right way, having a business acumen, being a leader, being mature, working on recovery, working on consistently, you know, growing as a person. But it's another thing when I get to talk about these things, but then I get to show them how to do it. Like, I didn't just come in telling people what to do. I was like, look, I want to be as coachable as possible. I'm not going to know plays. I'm not going to understand rotations because I haven't done this before in this system. But please coach me. Players 1 through 15, I don't care if you start. I don't care if you're a G League guy. I don't care if you're on the two-way. If you see I'm not doing something the right way, please correct it. And I think that changed their perspective of me right away. They had this opinion of what I was like. And then they got to see me. And I kind of told them, I was like, look, this is what I'm like as a person. This is how I work. And you know, when you guys are ready, you know, for me to kind of have those sit-down conversations, I'll have them. And I told Z the same thing. I said, look, I'm not here to be your father. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to lead you to the water. Whether you drink it or not is up to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, my life is going to be what it's going to be forever. Like, I did what I was supposed to do. I just want you to be able to maximize your talents. I want you to maximize your strengths. And as the president of the PA, I want to see everybody make as much money as possible while being able to truly take advantage of everything they have to offer to this game. And obviously, the better he is individually, the better our team will be, and I want to try to win the championship. So I think they got to watch how I moved, they got to watch how I acted, but most importantly, they got to watch how I worked. And I think that kind of shifted their mindset and appreciation of this game.
Man, that came out perfect. No wonder you're the president of the PA. So how important is it, do you think, staying on the topic of your move, how important was it, do you think, not just to bring a veteran in? A lot of times you'll see a young team, a lot of young talent, and they think, oh, we can't make the mistake of not having a veteran. They get a veteran in, but he's not an all-star caliber player, at least maybe not anymore. How important do you think it is that they bring you in who plays at a certain level so it maybe hits different, you know, differently when you talk to them and when you lead by example?
No, that's crucial, and I think that's one of the reasons why my brother and I have always had a great relationship, because he wasn't just a guy who told me what to do. He showed me what to do, and he still plays professionally. Shout out to my big bro. But I think the biggest thing was that I could come in, right, and like a guy like B.I., who's extremely talented, sky's the limit, hard worker, he's never really played alongside a guy who's been to the playoffs consistently and, like, played in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done played, you know, nine straight years in the playoffs. Obviously, I didn't play a lot early on. But I think their appreciation of me was different because I can speak to the guy who didn't play at all. I was DMP, showing up in the suit. I was a starter. I played roles. I watched guys shoot game winners. I passed to guys to shoot game winners.
You hit big shots.
And I hit them. So I think they collectively could really appreciate and understand that, like, I'm not just preaching to the choir. I'm not the OG you bring in at the end of his career. Like, I'm the OG that still can go get 30. You know what I'm saying? I think that really resonated with them. And then I can go kick it with you after the game and drop some gems on you. So I think that was really important, especially when you got 21, 22-year-olds. Like, I don't know who half these rappers are. that are rapping now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm listening to Marvin Gaye and OJs and Temptations and Ohio Players.
Man, you don't know nothing about that, man. You're not 50.
He knows everything about that.
I know everything about that. Yeah. But I still can listen to, you know, I still like a little Future. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I can still be in both worlds while kind of showing them, like, hey, this is how you transition and this is how you take care of your stuff off the court.
But, CJ, you talk about something that's so important. It's culture. Yeah. And it's something that makes me so appreciative of what Golden State has done. Their culture uplifts for a young guy like Jordan Poole. Like, that's difficult to thrive in that type of environment. But guys like Steph, Clay, Draymond set the right tempo culture-wise.
We got about 30 seconds left here. Who's going to win the finals, CJ?
I'm a man of my word. I said Boston. I just need the role players to really step up. I need Smart to be aggressive. I need robe Marcus Smart to come out. The comfortable Marcus Smart, the swaggy Marcus Smart, instead of the not so sure Marcus Smart. I think that'll be the difference in this series.
CJ McCollum, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're back in a matter of moments.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.